Go blue. That's one way to get cut short right there, isn't it, preacher? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you can laugh and have fun as a Christian. And so many people afraid to enjoy themselves in their Christian life. Amen. And I'm glad God gives grace to even be friends with Ohio State. That's a two-way street, brother, right? The grace needed on the other side as well, I guarantee it. And so praise the Lord for that. First of all, let me say thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to preach. And what a blessing. I was here 7 years ago and was honored to preach then. Just easy church to preach to. You can tell when a church has had preaching and knows what preaching and teaching is. You can just tell when you're in that kind of a church. And they're much easier to preach in than others. And so I appreciate that. I do want to thank again Pastor McGovern and the church as well for the use of the van this week. And a night and a half here really of lodging next door here. The amount of money that alone saved us is incredible. And so just again, deep heartfelt thank you for that. And I was asked by Brother Wes Hudson to send a greeting to the church, to you, Preacher Marion, and the church family from the Hudsons up in Talkeetna. So I promised I would do that. I have kept my word, and we have had a good visit up there and enjoyed our time up there. Got to take one of those flights into Denali yesterday. God gave us a beautiful day for that. And I was told when we were there that only one third of the people that go up there get to see all three peaks. We saw all three peaks at a glacier landing and just had a wonderful time. And so praise the Lord for that. God is interested in little things like that. And we prayed specifically that it would be a good day. And as I have found out since I've been here, you never know what Alaska weather is going to bring. And so, but we just praise the Lord for that, and I'm glad to be here with you. Now, if you want to take your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 9, I wrestled a little bit with what to preach tonight. This is what the Lord has settled my heart on this evening. I was going to preach a message on the greatest gift for your pastor. That's what I was going to preach. Out of this same passage, actually, and I'll make mention of it as we pass it, if I don't forget. But it is not all the physical gifts that I'm sure you flood them with. Those are appreciated. The birthday gifts, the Christmas gifts, the honoring, the physical things that you do for your preacher is not by far the greatest gift you can give your preacher. The greatest gift you can, I'll give you it in a nutshell. Here it is. One point. I have lots of points in the message, but one point. The greatest gift you can give your preacher is to be faithful to God and grow for Him. That's you. As a pastor who loves you, prepares, prays for you, invests in you, counsels you, all of those things, the greatest gift you can give him is not physical. It's spiritual. To see you going and growing for God. That's the greatest gift you can give your preacher. Anyway, that's not where we're going tonight. Let's go ahead. We'll read the first 10 verses. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. First 10 verses. We'll pray. And then we will get where we're going here. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. You'll have to deal with me with some of these names. I don't claim to be the perfect pronouncer here. Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechoreth, the son of Aphiah, the Benjaminite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses." And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjaminites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." And he said unto him, "Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go." Verse number 7. Then said Saul to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?" That is where the other message would have came from, that verse right there. Verse number 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way." Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come, and let us go see the seer. For he that is now called the prophet was before time called the seer." Verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, "Come, let us go." So they went unto the city where the man of God was. Father, we come to you tonight, and Father, I thank you for the high honor to preach in this pulpit to this people tonight. I don't take that lightly. You know my heart, and God, I have begged you to empty me of me and fill me with you, and God, I ask that you do that again. Father, would you bind Satan and the demons of hell from here tonight? God, build a hedge of protection about this property, about our minds, and Father, help us to focus on the truths of the Word of God tonight. Father, I want to be a help and encouragement, a challenge and a blessing this evening. Father, I pray, Lord, that your church here will be helped and strengthened tonight. Father, that's my heart. Please fill me and use me tonight. That's my heart's desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reminded as I read this text, this passage of Scripture, this story, if you will, how that if we'll just be faithful, if we'll just be faithful and busy in doing what we need to do in life, what we know to do in life, God will oftentimes bring everything else together for us. And Saul was simply here in this passage, I was simply obeying his father and doing what his father asked. Amen. The donkeys were gone, and that's what I want to preach on. What Saul found when looking for the donkeys. That's the title of the message. What Saul found while looking for the donkeys. And so he was simply doing what his dad asked him to do. The donkeys of Saul's father were lost, and Saul told him to take a servant, or his dad told Saul to take a servant and go find them, and that's exactly what he did. He was obedient to his father. He obeyed his father. He was doing exactly what was right. He could be trusted. No doubt Saul, prior to this, in other given opportunities, had proven his responsibility in tasks of obedience prior to this. And so Saul and his servant depart to go find his dad's donkeys. As they go, as we just read a moment ago, they come to several different locations, several different areas, and have no luck whatsoever finding the donkeys. They were gone a good while, and according to verse number 5, Saul looked at his servant and said, "Hey, we've been gone quite a while. Let's go back home, lest my father get concerned, forget about his concern for the donkeys, and start to be concerned about us. Let's go back home." But in verse number 6, I want to read that again. The servant here said, and he said unto him, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go." And so the servant makes a suggestion. Says, there's a man of God right up here, right in this next town that we're right next to. Let's go. Surely all that he says comes to fruition. Let's go and see the man of God. And so they talk about they don't have a gift to present the man of God if they go. And all that got taken care of. And they decided to go. And so I want you to notice a few things in this passage tonight. The suggestion of the servant here, let's go see the man of God, leads to three or four different things that I want to mention tonight, all right? Some different things that are found while they're looking for the donkeys. Number one, I want you to see tonight that while Saul was simply searching for the donkeys, Saul found a man of God. Saul found a man of God. Verse number 10 again with me, if you would. Let's read a few verses here and we'll get where we're going. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there's a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake of thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where is the seer's house? Verse 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. So we read these verses. The first thing that Saul found while looking for his daddy's donkeys, Saul found a man of God. Let me just say this as we get into this. Everybody needs a real and genuine man of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at. Everybody needs a genuine man of God. And Saul came across the man of God, Samuel, as he was on his search for these donkeys. He was looking for his father's donkeys, and God, I believe wholeheartedly, brought a man of God into his life. As the preacher said just a little while ago, I spent 12 and a half years in the Air Force. When I was 22 years old, God sent me to a country called England. And there, the very first night, I worked with my supervisor, Staff Sergeant Paul Simonson, there. After work that night, he led me to Christ. I was lost. I was on my way to hell. And somebody cared enough about my soul. And thank God, preacher, he took a King James Bible one day and sat down with me at his dining room table and showed me what the Bible had to say about eternity, about me being a sinner. I didn't argue with him. I knew that better than he did. Amen. And all that Christ had done for me and his wonderful grace that was available to me, if I would simply repent, turn unto him, and trust him as my Savior. And at 11:15 p.m. on January 2nd, 1992, I bowed my head that night and trusted Christ as my Savior. He didn't just leave it there, preacher. He invited me to church that next Sunday. We were on the same shift, so he knew when, obviously, the church services were. I didn't even know they had all those church services. Sunday school, Sunday, morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There was this Tuesday visitation thing they had. I didn't know anything about any of that. But listen, when God saved me, He invited me to church that next week. He picked me up, took me to church. My wife wasn't there yet. She had to wait till I got housing. And so she was back in the States. And so we started going to that church. I started going to that church. Kim came over there. She was shell-shocked because we weren't church people whatsoever. She was shell-shocked. She had a hard time for quite a while. But the fact of the matter is, what I'm trying to get to is I began attending church. And for the first time in my life, preacher, I had a man of God. His name was Greg Isle. My first pastor ever. What a blessing. I sat underneath that man of God as he preached and as he taught. I can remember even from those early days, the Wednesday night lessons on Hebrews he was going through. And I didn't understand a lot of this Levitical priesthood stuff and all of that. But man, I would get little things out of there and it would just bless my heart as a young Christian. I had a man of God, Greg Isle in England, and then the base drew down, and he was fully supported by the military church there, and he wasn't fully supported any longer. He had to come back to the States. Anyway, a missionary took over by the name of Paul Escalera. I was only there about a month under Paul Escalera. He was my pastor for a month. Then I moved to Germany. Pastor Ronnie Munson there in Germany was my pastor. I came back to the States as a recruit in Muskegon, Michigan, where Robert Evans was my pastor. And then for the last 2 years I was in the military, I was working out of Ann Arbor, living in Grass Lake, Michigan, and Pastor Bobby Toller was my pastor for those 2 years. And so I have had five men of God, five pastors in my life since I have been born again. Each one of these men played a critical and important part in my life and the life of my family at different stages of growth in my Christian life. And I am forever indebted to them. Thank God for the men of God that He has put in my life. But I'm just simply saying that every one of us needs a man of God. Listen, I know you know what you have here. At least I hope you know what you have in Brother McGovern here and Pastor McGovern here. I hope you understand that. And I'm thankful that he is here in this place. And those of you that were here, and Pastor Roach ahead of that, you know, I know what you had and all of that. Thank God for a church that has a man of God. And we find here, I think about all the investment of the men of God in my life, and then I come to verses 22 through 27 of our text here, and we find the man of God is investing in Saul. Listen, they just met, but look what happens here. Verse 22. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place to the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, and Samuel abroad. Verse 27, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. So we see multiple things here. We find out that he was investing and taking time with Saul, the man of God. Samuel was here over physical food, verses 22 through 24. He invited him to the food after the sacrifice. And that was a small group of people that were there. He was invited to that. He sat with him. He gave him a good portion. Not only the physical food and investing in Saul's life there, but the spiritual food. In verse number 27, that last phrase, he said, but stand thou still. He said, send your servant on a little bit. I want to spend some personal time with you. But stand thou still a while that I may show thee the word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, what a blessing. The man of God, a man of God, is interested in showing you what the word of God says. He's not pulling back. He's not hiding it. He's not worried about it. He's just going to go ahead and preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost of God do in your hearts what only the Holy Ghost of God can do. Praise God. We've got a lot of preachers today trying to skip around all kinds of other things. Thank God for your preacher. You have a man of God. And then in verse 25 and 26, we read that they communed together there. There was an investment, even in this short period of time that the man of God and Saul met. There was a communion and there was an investment that the man of God made into Saul's life. As Saul is busy obeying and following his father's will, he finds a man of God. Everyone needs a man of God. Number two, not only did he find a man of God, secondly, Saul found a church service. Go back to verse 12 and 13 with me. This is the maidens talking to him now. And they answered and said, he is. The man of God is here. Behold, he is before you. Make haste. Hurry up. Make haste now. For he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as you become into the city, you shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. You say, that's a little bit of a stretch, preacher. I don't know. All I know is sacrifices were a very integral part of worship in the Old Testament. And there was a sacrifice of the people that was taking place here. And so you may think that's a little bit of a stretch. That's fine. It's all right. It's my message. You can just talk bad about me when I leave. But here's the deal. That when he was looking for his daddy's donkeys, he found a man of God. And listen, the next thing he finds, he's part of, maybe even on the tail end, maybe at the beginning. I don't know where the sacrifice, I don't know. But he was part of a religious ceremony, a religious function, let me put it that way, that was going on with this sacrifice and the eating thereof afterwards. Amen. And so there was a worship service, if you will, the sacrifice. Anytime you find a man of God, it won't be too long and you're going to find a church service taking place somewhere. Amen. Amen. And so that's what's going on here. Listen, I stopped to think. This is really an introspective message for me. But I begin to think about all of, not only the five pastors I've had, I began to think about the missionaries I've crossed paths with. That's where I met Pastor McGovern at, as a missionary to Papua New Guinea. And our church supported him and so on and so forth. That's where I met him at. I think about the missionaries I've met. I think about the evangelists that I've met, that I have sat and listened to them preach and feed my soul. Are you listening? That's what I'm talking about here today. Saul found a church service. I'm so thankful for the men of God, not only the pastors I've sat under, but others that I have met along life's way, that I have been able to sit under the preaching and receive from the Word of God that which God had for me that day. Listen, the great majority of these services have been in the church house. They've been in the church house. Amen. The local church. What a blessing. Faith Baptist Church in Brumswell, England. First Missionary Baptist Church in Vindeken, Germany. Broadway Baptist Church in Muskegon, Michigan. North Sharon Baptist Church in Grass Lake, Michigan. Listen, this is where these church services have taken place greatly. There's some at camp I've sat under, obviously, over the years. There's some at special meetings, maybe outdoor meetings, tent meetings, different things. But fact of the matter is, most of them have been in the local church. The local church and its regular church services are so, I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, you understand. They're so critical in the growth of a Christian. Not just a young Christian, mature Christians too. Amen. Just because we feel maybe we've reached some level of maturity doesn't mean we're done growing. If you're breathing, you should be still growing. Amen. This book is an inexhaustible book. Amen. Listen, we're not going to get it all figured out this side of eternity. I'm just simply saying the local church is that place. It's at the local church where fellowship takes place with other believers. You need that. I need that. It's at the local church that the singing of godly hymns draws our hearts nigh unto God, gets ready for the preaching, that the preaching and teaching of God's perfect word takes place. It's at the house of God that the opportunity to serve God exists, that life-changing decisions made on an altar take place, that lost souls fall under conviction and get born again. It's at the local church that we show our love for God that saved us by being faithful to Him and attending the local church. Friend, listen, we all need a man of God, but can I tell you, we all need a local church. All churches are not equal. Doctrine matters. I'm not ashamed to be a part of an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning, separated Baptist church. I'm not ashamed of that. I believe that's a biblical church. All of those things. Amen. Listen, the fundamentals of the faith are critical. We've got people going all different kinds of directions in a hurry from that which is right and solid and founded. And they're going different directions. Preacher, you mentioned it just a little while ago. Doctrine matters, but direction matters. What direction are they going? That ecumenical direction? Let's go ahead and just paint everything black. Let's get rid of the pulpit of wood. Let's get a little plexiglass lectern. Let's get a stool. Let me get on my flip-flops with no socks, you know, just my flip-flops and skinny jeans. Oh, that would be bad. You understand what I'm getting at? Thank God you've got a man of God, and thank God there's a house of God here that is a biblical church. Amen. We all need that church. It matters. Listen, friend, when you find a doctrinally sound church with a genuine man of God that's not heading in a modern, contemporary direction, you have found something, because they're not on every corner today. And friend, what do you need to do when you find it? If I can just help you today, you need to join it, attend it, support it, and promote it. That's what you need to do. That'll be good. That'll be good. Saul not only found a man of God, he found a church service to attend. Let me give you something else he found quickly. I'm trying to hurry here. Thirdly, Saul found the will of God. Look at verse 16 and 17. Tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man. This is God speaking now to Samuel. I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, that thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is coming to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, say that real fast, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Drop down to verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid thy servant pass on before me. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Chapter 10, verse number 1. Watch it now. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Saul found the will of God while he was just simply out looking for his daddy's donkeys, doing what he was supposed to be doing. Friend, it's often in the house of God, through the preaching of the man of God, where the Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you what the will of God is for you. Amen. And Saul was to be the first captain, that's God's word, king, that was the people's words, of Israel. Saul was to lead God's chosen people. This was revealed to him following the church service and the fellowship that we just read about just a minute ago through the man of God. It was revealed unto him. And all of that happened because Saul was obedient and simply following his daddy's request to go look for his donkeys. He was simply doing what he was supposed to be doing. Church, can I encourage us tonight? Don't make all this Christian life stuff harder than it has to be. Find yourself a solid church with a genuine man of God. You have. And faithfully attend and be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will guide you into what's right. It's the Holy Spirit that will guide you away from what's wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that will convict you when you are wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that will grow you when you do right. He'll show you the small will of God, obedience to all the things that we learn from the Word of God that we do on a regular basis. But He will also reveal if there's a bigger will of God for you. All of that will be found, though, if you'll just be faithful to God and His Word day by day, doing what you know to do. Just be faithful. Just be faithful to God. Walking with God daily. Working for God daily. Worshiping God daily. Listen, just do what you know to do and God will reveal these things to you. What did he find when he was looking for his daddy's donkeys? He found a man of God at church service, the will of God. No, that's great. All those are tremendous things. Last thing. Look at verse number 20. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. For they are found. Saul found out that the donkeys were safe. That was the initial mission, wasn't it? I think God used this whole thing as a whole different deal in his life. Listen, God's orchestrating a plan far bigger. We see this, God sees the whole picture. When we don't understand why this or this happens in our life, God has a purpose for it all. We just need to trust Him. Amen? Right there. And lean not unto thine own understanding. That's where we get in trouble, right there. When we lean unto our own understanding, that's where we get in trouble. He found his daddy's donkeys were safe. Here's the entire message in a nutshell. I gave you 4 points tonight, but here's the entire message in a nutshell. Christian, just be faithful and do what you know is right to do, and God will lead you to the rest. I heard a preacher a long time ago simply say this. He said, Brother Letson, if you'll just day by day step in the will of God that you know is right to do and listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit and you be yielded to Him, at the end of life's journey, you will have walked every place that God wanted you to walk and you will have seen everything God wants you to see and you will have done everything that God wants you to do. At the end of life's journey. That might be oversimplifying it, but it really is the answer. It really is the answer. Just do what we know is right to do. Amen. You need a man of God. You've got one here. You need a biblical church with solid services. You're blessed. You have one here. You need to know what the will of God is for your life. If you'll be faithful here and you don't know that yet, you will know that. All of that will be found in just being faithful. And doing what you know to do. Here's the reality of the matter. What Saul found while looking for the donkeys, a man of God, a church service, the will of God, and the answer to why he left in the first place to go look for the donkeys. You are in a very fortunate situation here at Independent Baptist Church. I don't know whether you realize that or not. I hope you do. I do hope you do. But my challenge for you is this. Stay faithful. You say, I'll never get out of church. I'll never turn my back on God. There are people all over this world that have said the same thing at one point. That were probably just as faithful as you are right now. And they're sitting in contemporary Christian shallow churches. Amen. They're sitting out of church altogether. Their life is in a complete mess. Their family's in a complete mess. Amen. It can happen. We're all made of the same thing. Could happen to me, preacher. Could happen to you. Can I challenge you tonight? Be thankful for what God is giving you here, what He's given you here, and show your thankfulness and your love to God by being faithful to Him and listening to Him and walking daily with Him. All the rest of that stuff, whatever God has in front of us, all of that will take place if we'll just learn to be faithful in what we know to do, day in and day out. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?